Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
There we go.
Get those jack shoulders in, bro.
God, I'm getting fucking huge, too.
The fuck do you think people are watching this show for?
What am I, fucking invisible, Brian? Talking of which, I'm a rolling, by the way. You are looking a little leaner, Anthony. What are you weighing in at? I know you're in training camp.
Yeah, my weight's not really changed too much. I think I'm just, the composition is changing a little bit, but, you know, I'm still floating around 230, feeling good.
Composition. What do you normally like to get down to fight week?
Honestly, if it was up to me, I'd stay right here.
25-pound weight cut, week of the fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa, you're crazy.
But I'm a healthy 25-pound weight cut. Like, when I was doing it before, it was all I could do to get down to being 25 pounds over. Fat, happy, full, and hydrated at 25 over. So then we just adjust it throughout the week, and I don't really notice it coming off.
There's no such thing as a healthy 25-pound weight cut.
For sure.
No way. The week of the fight, 25 pounds of water, that's 2 and a bit stone if you're in the UK. Don't worry. I still remember you people. Bro, 25 pounds to suck out of your body is, you know.
Not if you do it over the week.
You're dabbling with death.
No, because
you're
going
on the eggshells of Satan. There is no way you can do that safely.
For sure.
God, I'm very hot.
Did you just wipe your face with a knife?
Wiping my face with a knife. There's no way you can do that safely. Fuck, it's hot as fucking here. I need the air conditioning on. Rebecca's not here. How are you, buddy? Welcome to the show. Apologies, everyone, for no show yesterday. We're here tonight. Yesterday was the 4th of July. How was it, you measly, unpatriotic, traitorous, bastard scum from 1776? Did you have fun, Anthony? Did you have a good day?
I did. I was celebrating your L, and it was a fucking blast. I got a friend in town from the UK. First time he's ever been in the States, and it happens to be 4th of July, and all my friends were asking him if they celebrated the 4th of July in the UK, and he was quickly realizing how idiots Americans are sometimes. It's not typically a thing. It's like celebrating your execution date. Like, it's not something you probably celebrate.
Yeah, well, no one is generally aware of it. I mean, historians, shall we say, and certainly people that were maybe a little bit more studious at school than I was probably know about it, but it's not like a big thing. It's not a big deal. People certainly aren't going around on the 4th of July going, oh, God. Oh, it's just, you know, it's part of history.
You guys don't have a national funeral march?
No, we don't. No, we just celebrate the fact that you still send your taxes over to us. You speak our fucking English and we're fucking mates if it all kicks off. Thank fuck for that. That's the main one. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It was International Fight Week at the weekend. We got lots to talk about. We've got fights to review. We have got forfeits to collect on, Anthony. And I know I said we'd talk about this later, but I'm too excited.
Dude, I had the best weekend as far as making personal bets and picking fights, because first of all, I got to dog walk Dean Thomas the whole time on the post show, because he couldn't have been more wrong the whole week. And for whatever reason, when he was working the desk, he was so sure that, like, he was like, there was just absolute, well, this is what he's going to do and this is going to happen here and that's how it's going to go. He was so sure of it. So I got to mess with him the whole time. And then I remembered Harrington gets to lose his scruffy beard today. Look at that thing.
There he is. What's he saying on the shirt, Harrington? We save
balls. It's a Manscaped thing. I figured since I'm busting out the Manscaped 4.0 for this, I might as well, you know, wear the shirt they sent me.
How did you feel after the first round of the Volkanovski Holloway fight? Like, what was your internal feeling?
Dude, literally, it didn't even take to the first round. It was like 2.5 minutes in. I was like, oh, there's just no way. There's just no way Max wins this fight. And I just had to watch for the next 22 minutes in horror, like a car crash in slow motion.
So obviously, for the people that don't know, because they weren't on here before we started recording the show, your girlfriend's in the background. She's not happy because your facial pubic hair is now going to be all over her apartment. We said get some newspapers. I don't read newspapers. Granted, it's 2022. Nobody has a paper boy anymore. But has she come to terms with the fact that you're going to be bald-faced and looking very, very different? I've never seen you without a beard.
It's a horrific sight. You know, it's not something I wish upon anyone, viewers included. And she has not made peace with it. She was saying some very, very negative things as I was walking into the office to record this.
Let me.
She's not mad at me, right?
No, she's not mad at you. Well, she's mad at me.
Who gives a fuck, Anthony? I'm mad at you. Let me ask you this, Anthony. Now we know you're the real man. We know you got the camels, the fucking, you got it all, but. I always see you clean shaven. This is about as manly as I get with beards. Yeah. If you wanted to grow a beard like Harrington, could you do that?
No. I actually shaved before I came on here because when I'm in camp, the only thing that keeps me looking clean shaved is this show when I'm in training camp.
Oh, really? Because
it comes in so white trash right here. Like it's just scurvy and it's like real patchy and it's so they don't always connect. And it grows like all the way down my neck, but only like in the front. It doesn't, it looks awful. It looks terrible. So
same. I can't do it. I can do it to about here. And my wife's always, Rebecca's always like, Michael, let it grow out. She wants me to have a beard like Harrington. She wants a husband like you, Harrington, to be quite frank. And I'm like, babe, I can't do that. Cause when it gets, she says, just let it grow. I'm like, no, because it gets to a certain length and then it just, looks, it's not thick, it's not manly, it's not like fucking gladiatorial, it's just pubescent. Do you know what I mean? It just looks shit. It's bad.
So this whole bet is just because you guys are jealous of how awesome my beard is? Okay, I get it.
So Hamilton, come on, buddy. What are you waiting for? No time like the president. President? Jesus Christ, I've got 4th of July on the mind. Come on, let's go.
Oh my God, here it goes. You're not as ugly as I thought you were going to be without it.
That could be worse.
I just kind of wish we could have went back and done something else now.
Now, let me ask you this then. Let me ask you this. Anthony, you say that the only reason you shave is because of this show during camp, right? And if you didn't, then it all grows back. Yeah. You just shaved before this show. Mm-hmm. Harrington just shaved, okay? Can we have a beard race?
Oh, he'll smoke me.
Let's give it a shot, though. No more shaving to the end and until your fight.
Okay.
I won't shave, Harrington won't shave, and you won't shave.
Deal. You know,
crappest competition ever, but still,
right.
Fuck it. We're here to have a good time.
We're going
to
do it for BIMCOIN? Do I?
BIMCOIN. No, let's not get into that. Let's not get into that. 4th of July, you guys have some crazy traditions, one of which is eating a lot of hot dogs. Harrington, over to you.
Well, this is, you know, two of my favorite loves combined, martial arts and eating a disgusting amount of food. Joey Chestnut yesterday, looking to defend his title to go 15 of the last 16 of winners of the Nathan's annual July 4th hot dog eating competition. Yesterday was eventful because mid contest, right on like his 17th or 18th dog, a protester rushed the stage to try to bring awareness to the ills of the pork industry, as you see here. And Joey Chestnut, I don't know if you guys know what this move is, but it's effective.
It's just called get the fuck out of here.
And he still won, right?
Oh yeah, he won by about 20 hot dogs.
Yeah, you can't move right now on social media without that clip haunting you. I just find that tradition disgusting. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I'm not American.
The hot dog eating thing?
Yeah, man. Sticking that foul, disgusting, low-quality, penis-shaped meat repeatedly down your throat. Do you know? And that's going to be...
Someone's clipping that shit.
That's going to be a meme all day long.
Mike, that's not how you eat hot dogs.
Well, it's... but that's how they eat them. They're sticking them in. Anthony, how
many... Stop doing that with your hands.
Anthony, how many imaginary hot dogs could you get in your mouth at once?
Two, maybe. Like, I don't know how they eat so many goddamn hot dogs. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I can eat. Like, if we're talking steak eating competitions, fine. But I'm not a big hot dog fan. Like, I can do brats or, you know, something that's got some quality to it. But, like, I don't know. I don't like hot dogs.
Well, I'll be barbecuing after this, actually, because today is National Kebab Day. I don't know if you knew that.
Is it? I did not.
It's fucking National Kebab Day. Come on. Break out the kebabs. Kebabs are a staple part of the English diet, let me tell you.
Are they? Yeah.
Anywhere you go on a night out, the bars and whatnot, the pubs, then you go to the kebab shop afterwards. You know, it's kind of like America's version of a cheeseburger, I think. Everyone has the kebab shops, and that's where often you'll get into a fight with a bunch of rowdy lads. Used to love a good kebab shop fight at 11 o'clock at night. Should we get into some of this fight stuff?
Yeah, I'm in.
Pedro Munhoz, O'Malley. What do you think?
Yeah, that was unfortunate because I feel like Pedro Munhoz was kind of chipping away at a game plan. I don't know how successful it was going to be. Was it going to work? I don't know. But he landed 26 strikes, not one to the head, not one to the body. I believe between the two, there was only 6 attempts between the head and the body at all. No, nothing landed. And they're all leg kicks. So I don't think we got it. It didn't get to, I don't know. It didn't get to play itself out. Like, was O'Malley going to adjust to the range and start landing some shots? I don't know. But I do think it's weird. Like, Sean really criticized Pedro for not coming at him and really kind of fighting and getting into the shit with him. But O'Malley didn't really either. So I don't know. It was an unfortunate, lackluster, you know, kind of ending. Was because I wanted to see how that was going to play out.
No, me too. I was devastated. I'm a fan of O'Malley. I love watching him fight. I love how he carries himself. And I'm always, you know, every time he goes into his fights, I'm always intrigued to see how he's going to handle this one. And now stepping into this one, first time fighting somebody so highly ranked, you know, a step up in competition. I was like, okay, let's see how he does. So it was disappointing. You know, and Sean didn't mean to poke him in the eye. It's just sadly one of those things that happened. But of course, Sean's going to do Sean. Afterwards, he was saying, I was dominating that fight. He was looking for a way out. And I understand why, as a fighter, you might say those things. We need those egos. You know that, Anthony. I'm telling the believers. It's the ego that makes us a great fighter in the first place. But it's also the ego that makes you say things like that afterwards. The reality is, I gave Pedro Munhoz the first round. I had it 10-9.
So did two judges.
Yeah. What about you?
I did. And just off of damage and output, you know, Sean wasn't really landed anything, and Pedro was landing. Anything that was landing was landed by Pedro. But I was really curious if Sean O'Malley going to be able to adjust to someone who wasn't coming at him? And because that's when O'Malley does his best work. It's kind of like Israel Adesanya. You really come at that guy, it's going to be tough for you. But Pedro did a good job of staying patient, which is kind of new for Pedro. Pedro Munhoz doesn't fight like that. He crashes forward and creates car wrecks, and he's real dangerous in the gray area. But for him to stay on the outside, stick, be real disciplined for even 5 minutes and stay safe, I thought it was a fantastic job by him, even for the short amount of time the fight happened.
Yeah, well, for Pedro, I guess he had to do that because, as we know, 1-4 in his last five, granted against top competition. So he had pressure on him to win, but also fighting O'Malley, you get to take away a lot of his shine. A lot of eyeballs are going to be on that fight. If he wins, he's successful. Then all of a sudden, people are talking about him again. He's again a contender, if you will. So the eye poke happens, they call off the fight. I understand some people might say, he's a pussy, you know, look at that. We've seen other fighters continue. But then, I'm sure you saw the medical reports. He had a scratched cornea. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a scratched cornea?
Yeah, it's awful.
It's fucking awful. When I was going through my eye troubles, I had a detached retina. They repaired it. It re-detached. And then I got glaucoma. I had to have two emergency surgeries in the middle of the night. It was fucking awful. When I came around from that, I never saw out my eye again. But my real concern was when I woke up the next day in the hospital, wasn't the fact that the eye wasn't working, it was the pain, because in the surgeries, the doctor messed up one of the surgeries. And when I came around, they had to redo it all again. They'd slice the cornea. So every time I blinked, for those people that don't know, when you blink, it's like you're pulling on the flap of your eye, and it is just, oh, the fucking pain. So I'm not surprised Munoz couldn't continue.
Yeah, it's and that made me sick to my stomach listening to you talk about that, because eye pain is there's nothing worse, you know, just for people at home, just when you get something in your eye and you can't get it out, like how annoying and frustrating that is, you know, and that shit doesn't go away quickly, you know what I mean? It's so I felt bad for him, especially people kind of shitting on him without actually knowing the truth, you know, it sucks.
Yeah, because Reed Harris tweeted the next day. He said, I just saw Munoz at the hotel. He said his eyes completely swollen shut. What do you think they do? I reckon they just run that back. You know?
I hope so.
It seems like the logical thing. It was no one's fault. I mean, listen, I guess you could argue, if anyone's to blame, it's O'Malley. But again, accidental eye pokes sadly are a thing of the sport. So I don't think Sean needs to be punished. No. Pedro shouldn't be punished. I say just run the fucker back.
Just run the fucking thing back and do it again.
Couple of weeks, Munoz will be good. Maybe not good to fight, but the pain will be gone. The eye will be gone. He'll be living his life normal. Put it on the next pay-per-view or the one after. Boom. There you go. Job solved.
Just do it again. Yeah, do it again. I'll watch it.
All right, today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers professional counseling done securely online. So if you feel that there is something interfering with your happiness, something keeping you awake at night, some kind of problem, something giving you anxiety, some kind of temper issue, whatever it is, generally, most of us are going through something. And speaking to somebody, speaking to a licensed professional therapist, somebody that you can communicate with in just under 48 hours, that will definitely help. In fact, you could say it's BetterHelp. Listen, at the end of the day, as I say, we're all going through things. Speaking with somebody definitely helps. And when it is someone that's trained to do this, you would be surprised. You know, I went through anger management counseling, was it last year or the year before? And I'm not saying that. I still don't have a little bit of a temper, but I'll tell you what, I do process things so much better. So whatever it is that you're going through, BetterHelp will be able to help. You can schedule weekly video or phone session. So, you know, you're ever going to jump in the car, you're ever going to drive to the other side of town, pay for parking and all that stuff. If for some reason you're not gelling with the therapist, you can switch them up. Very, very simple. So what are you waiting for? Join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Go to betterhelp.com. That is better, H-E-L-P. BetterHelp.com/believe to get 10% off your first month. One more time, BetterHelp.com/believe for 10% off your first month. All right. What was next?
Robbie Lawler.
Oof.
Brian Barberena.
Oof. What a fight.
What a goddamn fight. Brian Barberena trains here where I'm at right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that he is a special type of person. There's a, you know, I had a really cool conversation talking about Brian and Robbie and kind of those, your Matt Browns, your Vicente Luques, your Nico Prices, like those type of guys. Brian Barberena is not super concerned with winning or rankings or money or any of those things that maybe a lot of other fighters are attached to. He is a man that's living in a generation that wasn't made for him. He really is. Like, he wants to get in fucking barn burners with legends. That's it. He wants to throw bombs and the crowd go crazy. And like, that's where he lives. He's like a real life gladiator. So they couldn't have made a better matchup, because Robbie Lawler is exactly that same person. So I don't know. I feel like we got to witness something special there. You know what I mean?
Like, Barberena looks exactly like the man you just described. I mean, you've only got to take one look at Brian Barber and you see the beard, you see the haircut. The man's walking around in his overalls, and then you see the way he fights. The guy is, to use a term that is so much overused these days, but it's applicable, a savage. You know, it's so cliche to say that now, but he is. And then when you speak to him, I don't know what he's like in the gym on the day-to-day because I've never been there, but I've spoken to him at fighter interviews, and he's the nicest, most down-to-earth, humble guy you could ever speak to. But in the octagon, like you said, fucking guy's a wild man.
He's a fucking wild man. And he's good. You know, I think sometimes the subtleties get missed. Some of the things that him and Robbie were doing, Robbie was really giving him problems kind of in that first round. Barberina goes back. They make some adjustments, but then Robbie made some adjustments. So, like, even though it looks like two guys are just throwing bombs, like, these guys are crafty veterans that are doing really, really subtle things to make it difficult on the other person. You got Robbie, like, all of a sudden decided to start sticking a jab in the second round. Like, did Robbie Lawler ever fight with a jab? Like, it wasn't, like, not a thing. So, you know, he like, even at his age and his this point in his career, he's sticking hard jabs. And then Barberina is going high volume, which is a little bit newer of a thing he didn't typically do. It's usually big bombs. And I don't know, man. I couldn't fucking have enjoyed it anymore.
I was trying to think, because I remember saying this Saturday night. I was watching it in the hotel room with the family. And I think it was Robbie Lawler's corner told him to, like, change his strategy at the end of round one. And I said to my wife or Callum or someone, excuse me, I'm like, you can't tell Robbie Lawler to change the way that he fights when he's been fighting in the UFC since 2002. It's just built in the guy's DNA. That is who he is. That is the way he fights. That is why everybody loves him. So you can't tell him after a tough first round. Well, saying that, it looked like Lawler was going to win, and then it came back to Barberina was going to win. That's why it was such a bloody exciting fight. And of course, you know, in the end, Barberina got the job done. But both men traded in the pocket. We saw great head movement, excellent display of boxing. And they're the type of fights that make you a fan of mixed martial arts. You know what I mean? If you've never seen the UFC, when you watch that, you see the excitement that it brings, and just the two warriors, again, to use another cliche, but they fucking are. When you see that, man, it was unbelievable.
I think that they were one of – that's one fight of two, I think, on this card that I think is really unique. That the winner doesn't really matter. Like, both – so the Jim Miller, Cowboy Cerrone, and then Barberina and Robbie, I think both of those fights are inconsequential. Like, there's no real fucking loser there. Like, you know what you're getting. You know that these guys are going to go out and they're going to fight their asses off. They're going to put on a show. It's going to be exciting. There's going to be a lot of emotions involved in both fights. But honestly, would I have felt any different about this fight had Robbie won? Not at all. It wouldn't have changed anything that I just said. Same kind of with Jim Miller and Donald Cerrone. Like, these aren't guys that are necessarily super focused on chasing rankings and knocking off young up-and-comers and trying to get to title shots. Like, maybe that's something that they would all love to do, but is that, like, their main goal? I don't think so. So I think sometimes in MMA, everything is so rankings and titles and you know, it's all so it's tracked. Like, we're trying to track these guys down the road. Sometimes I think it's okay to just sit back and just fucking enjoy having some fun on fights that don't actually matter, except for the fact that they want to do it and we want to watch.
Yeah, because it gets to a certain stage. Obviously, when you get to the UFC, when you're building your career, like the phase that you're in right now, you're trying to become the champion. You're trying to work up the way through the rankings. You're almost there. You're trying to get that fucking shot. You want to fight for the belt. You want to be the champion. But then, you know, if you're still fighting in the UFC in 5 years' time and you've been the champ, you've had the belt and you've had that moment, you know, and you've had a few more losses, as you say to your point right now, I wouldn't have been surprised on Saturday night had Robbie Lawler retired. Do you know what I mean? Just like the way that Donald Cerrone did. I was surprised that he didn't, to be quite fair, to be quite frank. But you're right. You're right. It's just fun fights. Forget about the pressure. Forget about the rankings. Forget about anything like that. This is who I am. It's in my DNA, like I said before. I'm going to go out there. We're going to have a fucking fight. I thought Donald Cerrone made the right decision Saturday night. I think, what is that? Is that seven fights now without a victory?
Yeah, six or seven, something like that.
Yeah, poor guy. No, I
like that he did it his way. You know, it didn't seem like a sad, somber moment. You know, he seemed almost excited. Like, and I don't know how you felt, You know, when you like, if there was some perfect moment that you were looking for in your retirement, were you trying to find a win? Did you want certain people there? Did you want the performance to be a certain, like, I don't know what that looks like, but it's whatever that looked like for him. It seemed like he found the perfect moment. I heard him say he wanted Joe there. He wanted Buffer there. He wanted to be in Vegas. He wanted fans. It almost worked out perfect, because it's not like they beat the shit out of each other and they're both broken and bloody and he got knocked out and like it couldn't have worked any more perfect. You know, he had a decent performance, got caught in a choke. Like, fuck it. Like,
you get caught in a guillotine fucking every time you go training. If you're training with the right people, that is like the best way to lose an MMA contest. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Get choked out in the first round by a guillotine. Doesn't hurt. You tap and it's over. It's perfect. Yeah. And yeah, like you said, pay-per-view, Las Vegas, massive fight card. Got to put his gloves down in the middle of the octagon. That's one thing I never got to do, but I did. I was going to take one more fight in London because of the same thing. Everything you just said then about Cerrone, I kind of wanted to experience in London, and they'd always supported my career and stuff. But then my manager, Audie, was like, what are you doing? He said, you're romancing this in your head. You know what I mean? The reality is when it's done, it's over. People forget pretty quickly. You're risking your good eye. It's not worth it. I thought, yeah, you're absolutely right. But Donald Cerrone, well done. Said he's off to be a movie star now, man. And he's done quite a lot of movies, to be fair.
Yeah, good for him. I don't know if I could do the acting thing like you guys do. I don't know.
Come on, you could do it.
I don't know.
Big strapping lad like you, Anthony.
It seems kind of scary.
It is. I shit my pants the first time on a movie set. Oh my god, I didn't know what I was doing.
Terrified. Like, just a room I don't belong in, you know?
Yeah, but it's like anything though, you prepare for it. You know what I mean? Like, so I got the way it happened with me, this whole acting thing, Tap Out made a few movies back in the day when they were selling hats and t-shirts and shorts galore, and they were making all that money. They made a few movies, and I got offered a part. You know, it was 2009. I'd never acted before in my life. I get an offer. They're going to give me 20 grand and two business class tickets to fly to Texas with a buddy to fucking make a movie. I'm like, yeah, fuck it, let's go. Yeah. Jacko, my old mate, I'm like, Jacko, we're fucking going to Texas making movies now, buddy. We got fucking shit-faced on the plane on the way over. We get there, I get given my per diem, your money to spend every day. Mm-hmm. We blew it on the first night. 2.5 weeks worth of money, supposed to schedule it for every day. We went out and fucking partied our asses off. Anyway, that's another story. But to your point, I'd done a couple of acting lessons in preparation for it. But I remember we were in this house and I had to walk out to a kitchen and like do like a proper scene, like a proper acting scene, not a fight scene, not just being a meathead. I had to like, you know, have a little bit of presence and whatnot and deliver lines. And my heart was going 10 to the dozen. I was terrified. But
did you do okay?
I did good. Yeah, the director, and at the end of it, the director was like, dude, he said, you're actually pretty good at this. If I was you, I'd keep doing this. So it was because of that. I was like, you know, I'll give myself an agent. I'll give it a go. Harrington, I want to know what you think about this, Anthony Smith, because I'm pretty sure you're going to have a much different view. Look at, oh my God. It doesn't even look like
it. Yeah, it's so weird.
You look like Vanilla Ice or someone like that, some like little dork.
Don't sweat the technique.
Has your girlfriend seen it yet?
Oh, yeah.
You look like Fred Durst in 2022.
Fred Durst, that's who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Not Vanilla Ice. So listen, Anthony, obviously you're a man that goes out, you're on hunting expeditions. You're fucking, you got the razors, you got the barbecues, the camels. You'll fucking take care of business if you need to.
I got two more cows yesterday, by the way.
What are the names?
Yeah. Oh, we haven't named them yet. I think we've only named the first couple.
I'm going to suggest a name. Daisy.
Daisy. Okay.
Harrington's beard. Harrington. Yeah. Call it Harrington.
Oh, my God. Harrington. Harrington and Harrington's beard.
Harrington, you know where I'm going with this. Story number two, please.
So Rian Naud, he's a 55-year-old, or he was a 55-year-old, head of Pro Hunt Africa, was found dead next to his vehicle in Limpopo. He was on an expedition. There's like many pictures.
I believe it's pronounced Limpopo.
I mean, you're the world traveler. I don't know. But yeah, so this guy, he would go and like hunt endangered species. There's pictures of him next to, you know, like impalas and downed elephants and lions and all that. Yeah, as you can see.
That's the guy right there.
That's the guy.
That guy's dead?
That guy got caught outside of his car, execution style, assuming, you know, he was on a hunt there. So you
surprised me there because you're fuck this guy because he's killing endangered species.
Yeah, I don't fuck with trophy hunters at all. Like I won't kill anything I won't eat. So I cannot stand. Now, we could go really deep in the weeds and talk about like some preservation stuff.
Yeah.
As far as there's a lot of these communities, whether you're in Africa or whatever, where they will sell some of these hunts to these richer people, and then they use the money that are for these huge amounts of money to in turn preserve the rest of that population. So instead of people coming in and poaching them, they sell a couple here and there to these pieces of shit. So I don't like the hunters anymore because of this, but they use the money from all these rich pieces of shit, and then they use that money to preserve them, to keep them from being poached, to help. So in turn, it raises the population. You lose a couple to save the rest. I'm okay with that. It feels dirty to me still, but I'm okay with it. But these trophy hunters, I cannot stand these pieces of shit. They give all hunters a bad look.
Well, very well said, Anthony, by the way, and very eloquently put. And I totally agree with you. That's where I thought we would have a difference of opinion because of, you know, you're mm-hmm. you're a hunter yourself. Because I remember having this conversation with Joe Rogan, and he saw it completely differently. You know, he was like, well, he made the conservation and the preservation argument, you know, and I'm like, listen, I don't care. That still means that some guy is paying thousands of dollars, getting on a plane, flying to Africa from a fucking distance through a rifle, boom, I'm killing a big, huge, magnificent, endangered species. Do you know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying the guy deserved to get fucking murdered. I hope he hasn't got children or anything like that, because that's a tragedy. Well, that's sad. But that's the fucking risk you take. Yeah. I mean, listen, it is sad.
Like, I can't stand seeing these fucking pictures of these guys with lions.
Oh,
we're talking the one thing that I don't necessarily have a big issue with is, there's all these huge, massive herds of like buffalo. Now people will come in and they'll do these guided hunts and they'll shoot the buffalo, but then you can't travel back. Look at that guy. Look how glorious that animal is.
That's one of the most handsome beasts on the fucking planet. And that little prick blew its brains out from a distance. That's not a fair fight. That's not sport. That's straight up fucking murder.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I hate that. But anyways, they have these huge, massive herds of buffalo and all these other animals that are essentially, they're safe. Like, these populations are safe, and you can't travel back with that meat from that animal. So what they do is most of the times they'll donate that meat to like the local villages and feed the people. I don't necessarily have a big issue with that. I think you can bring the head back with the antlers and stuff. So if it's these, you know, these huge herds that can use some control on their sizes anyways, and you're feeding the local population that don't necessarily have the ability to shoot an animal, like they're chasing this shit with spears and bows and arrows and shit, if you can help and feed people, I'm totally okay with that for the most part. But like, we're talking like the elephants and the giraffes and the lions and shit.
Yeah.
No way.
We're totally on the same page. I thought we were going to have some kind of
argument,
potentially heated debate on.
I know.
On
I kind of wish we would have, but I've been a big stickler on that. I fucking hate trophy.
No, I was. I just assumed, you know, because a lot of hunters are for it. That they, you know, and it just blows my fucking mind. It blows my mind. But that's what you get. South Africa is a dangerous place. Did I ever tell you my story about when I was almost murdered there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't you like push the one you pushed the guy and ran away?
Yeah, a little bitch. You want to act, tough in those situations. Fuck that. Push him, run, I'm cry. Okay, well, that's good. All right, real quick. True Bill. Listen, you know the one, the subscription scams. Sign up to this one for just $2.99 and then you forget about it. Or maybe it's $4.99. Whatever it is, right? There's subscription scams, they get you. Because you sign up to something, you forget about it. Maybe it's some app in the app store, okay? But you forget about it, and you're continuing to pay these small little amounts over the course of time. They add up to a lot of money. So Truebill is a new app that helps you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions that you don't need, want, or as I say, you just forgot about. On average, people are saving $720 a year with Truebill because companies, as I say, they make it hard to cancel. Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link all your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in just one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so that you don't have to. So listen, don't fall for these scams any longer. You would be surprised. You got to contact your bank. You got to look at your bank statement. You got to go through it. Then most of the time, you got to get onto the bank. You got to get on the phone to the bank, or you got to go into the bank. Wait in line. Takes forever. Truebill, as I say, consolidates it all. You can get rid of them all in just one tap. So right now, go to truebill.com/believe. This could save you thousands of dollars a year. Matthew B saved $840 a year on car insurance, $120 on his Sirius XM bill, $660 for the year on his DirecTV bill. So as I say, go to truebill.com/believe. Start canceling today at truebill.com/believe. Right now, truebill.com/believe. This could save you thousands per year. truebill.com/believe. Back to the fights then. What was next? Oh, Sean Strickland, Alex Pereira. I got to say, I'm not a fan of the stuff that Sean Strickland says, okay? But I liked what he said at the press conference. He had me in fucking stitches. I thought he was hilarious. I didn't see the whole press conference. I was on holiday, but I did see the highlights. I didn't see Sean Strickland going at Adesanya. I thought it was very, very funny. He had me laughing. But Pereira got the last laugh for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not a big fan of the stuff that he says either, but he had me laughing my ass off because he's so ballsy. You know, and for the first time, I seen someone get under Izzy's skin.
Oh, Izzy was pissed.
He was pissed. And no one's really been able to get under his skin. Even, you know, Derek Brunson came at him pretty hard and a couple of people have. And he's pretty cool, calm, and collected, but Izzy was real fucking pissed.
Yeah, I tell you, that was a classic.
But he feels stupid as shit today.
Oh, of course
he does. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's, yeah, I mean, you know how it is. Like, I've talked some shit before, and then,
bro,
before the Rakic fight, I said, there ain't a fucking world that exists where Alexander Rakic survives on the ground with me. Then he fucking grounds me for 15 minutes.
But to be fair, though, that's what you've got to do. You've got to be man enough to talk the shit and put yourself at risk. You know, like look at George St. Pierre. I talked crazy shit and got choked out fucking unconscious because real men don't tap. But I remember on that conversation years ago, I think it was UFC 152 when I fought, forget who it was, but Demetrius Johnson was fighting Joseph Benavidez on the card. And we did a lunch with the press. Mm-hmm. And Demetrius Johnson, who, as we know, one of the most dominant champions that the UFC saw, and he was then, he was well, you know, lengthy into his title run, would not predict to the press that he was going to win the fight. And I interjected. I went, whoa, hold on. Why won't you say you think you're going to win? And he said, well, because if I don't, I'll look stupid. And I said, well, yes, but that's the risk we take. That is us displaying the confidence that we have in ourselves to say, I'm willing to put this fucking out there. I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to beat you. And if it backfires, well, then, of course, yeah, you do. You do look a little foolish.
Yeah, but that's just how it is. Sean went, maybe he went a little too hard, but he's pretty quick witted. And I think that's where Izzy and
Alex the breaking nail line. That was good.
Oh yeah. Well, and then he said, "Won't you tell me what not to do, Izzy?"
Yeah.
Oh God. Well, goddamn Pereira.
What not to do was eat a left hook from Pereira, who clearly showed that the power that he has is on another level to a lot of people. Sean Strickland made a lot of mistakes, though. You know, he didn't go for a single takedown. Mm-hmm. I thought that, you know, Sean is decent on the feet. He's very good on the ground. The in-between was lacking. Walking him down, trying to jab him down against a guy like that, it was always going to be a recipe for disaster. And, Alex Pereira once again got the job done.
And everyone thought that Sean Strickland was, like, tricking us when he was saying, "No, I'll stand with that guy." And people were like, "Oh, he's lying." Like, he ain't lying. Like, he's really going to try that.
Like, well, because he has to.
I didn't first. That's what I said on the pre-show.
He has to stand with him because he can't take him down.
Because he can't take him down.
He can't. It's not a DC. It's not a Tyron Woodley, who's some other great wrestlers. It's not a Ben Askren. Granted, can Sean Strickland do a single and a double and a body lock and a fucking high crotch? Of course he can. But doing it under high pressure, doing it against a person that doesn't want to be taken down, that's your size, that's trained to stop that takedown, is much different from just knowing how to do it.
And like I said, like I had a really pretty good week on kind of talking about how I thought these fights were going
to
go.
But listen, like, to him.
It doesn't happen often. That's what I'm saying.
The start of the show, Anthony. My God.
I'm bragging about it because it didn't used to be like that. Like, I'm not used to being right.
We need humble Anthony Smith. I'm not threatening you with a knife, by the way.
I just didn't believe that Sean was going to try to wrestle. Like, I believed everything he said. And honestly, I took some of that from you talking about how good his jiu-jitsu was and he was a good striker, but that he did tend to struggle some a little bit in the middle area. And fuck, he got hit with a goddamn bomb. And then to his credit, he came right back up and then got hit twice on his way back down.
Yeah, yeah. No. Well done, Pereira. Passed the test. Of course, he's going to be next for Izzy. We'll talk about that.
Hey, I got a question.
Go ahead.
They asked me on one of the shows this weekend, do you think Alex Pereira is ready to fight guys in the top five?
And?
Answer it. That's for you.
Well, styles make fights. I'll tell you this, he's ready to fight Israel Adesanya, and he's beaten Israel Adesanya. And when they fight, I don't think we're going to see any wrestling. Maybe if we do, we're going to see it from Izzy, right? But I just think from a pride standpoint, he's not going to want to take him down, you know? And I don't think he would do that anyway. So we're going to see a kickboxing fight. So he's one of the best in the UFC. He's the middleweight champ. Mm-hmm. So certainly he's ready to fight guys in the top five. If we're talking number one, but who else is in the top five? Are they wrestlers? Hold on, I've got the rankings right here, actually.
Marvin Vettori,
he's not a wrestler.
Whitaker.
Jared Cannonier, not a wrestler. Derek Brunson, I'd avoid him like the goddamn plague if I'm Pereira. Paolo
I looked at it kind of similar to you, that I think that there might only be two people, and I think maybe this is where we'll disagree, there might only be two or three people in the entire top 10 he can beat.
That he can beat?
That he can.
Oh, hold on.
Maybe top 10 is a bit exaggerated. Maybe I'm exaggerating just a bit. But I think that Vettori will wrestle him. Because he out-wrestled, you know, God damn it.
Till? No, he didn't fight Till.
No.
Kevin Holland.
No, yeah. Well, I was the Joker, Jack Hermanson. So, like, Jack Hermanson's a grappler. And he was able to just kind of ground him and stay on top. I think Cannonier would wrestle. Definitely avoid Brunson like the fucking plague for sure.
Avoid Brunson. Paolo Costa is just going to drink loads of red wine and get knocked out. Alex Pereira. Sean Strickland got knocked out. Jack Hermanson, Darren Till. I'd love to see Darren Till in there.
To see Darren Till in there with them for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, there it is. All right. Volkanovski, Max Holloway. The trilogy, it's over, it's done. We're not going to hear about it anymore. The only way they're going to fight is if Max Holloway goes away and goes on this incredible 8-9-10 fight win streak to where Volkanovski says, okay, fuck it, we'll go again. But as of right now, that book is closed, chapter is done, the end credits are done. It's saying MCMCMXXX, whatever it says at the end of the movies, you know what I mean? And it's saying, see you later, Holloway. Good eye, mate. Fucking Alex Volkanovski's the fucking champ. Simple as that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, mate.
What a fucking monster. What a goddamn... He did everything. So in the first fight, he did a couple things really. My boxing coach always says, good fighters always go first. And better fighters always go last. And great fighters go first and last. Mm-hmm. And Volkanovski did that really well in the first fight, where he would start throwing a leg kick or throw something out there, get Max to come to him. So instead of, because he's shorter, he has a longer reach actually, but because he's shorter, covers distance.
Two
not as well as
longer reach, which is wild when you look at the physiques. Sorry, yeah. Anthony, go on.
No, you're fine. A lot of people are chasing Max, and it's Max keeping people on the outside with that jab and them trying to get in. In the first fight, Volkanovski didn't do that. He drew Max into his own range. So that's why, you know, he was countering Max's counters, and he did a fantastic job of it. I thought, rewatching it all week long, I thought Volkanovski won that first fight five rounds to nothing. So second fight, he didn't do any of those things. And, you know, now he talks about it and says, you know, I had a bad weight cut. USADA woke me up. I didn't get any sleep. We're on Fight Island. It was just, he didn't bring any of his skill set. He won it with grit and competitiveness. So I still will say, I think Max Holloway won that second fight. And the third fight, he did everything he did in the first fight, just 50% better. I don't think Max Holloway looked bad. I think Volkanovski is just, he's getting better faster than Max is. To be fair, I love Max Holloway. I'm a big, big Max Holloway fan, but he hasn't evolved or changed in a very, very long time. He's kind of still the same guy he's been for a very long time. And I mean, Volkanovski was on fire, dude. Watching it in person, it was really clear we were watching something special. You know, it was incredible. That right hand he hit him with when he cut him.
Oh,
it was right in front of me, and it was nasty. It was squirting with his heartbeat. Like it wasn't even bleeding down him because it was squirting out on his toes. And fucking Volkanovski hits him with it and looks right at Max. Oh, that's a bad one.
I know. I Max was lucky the fight didn't finish because of that fight. Sorry, because of that cut. That was a really heavy, severe cut with a lot of blood pumping out. To your point, listen, Volkanovski was one step ahead the whole time. Making reads, he was just a better fighter. It was like he could see Max in slow motion. Whatever Max thought he was going to do, he was already two steps ahead. He would get in, he would land his shots. He would push out with the feet. Then he would go back in and go again and counter Max's counters. He was just, it was a fantastic display of technical brilliance. I got a question for you regarding Max Holloway, because it wasn't like Max Holloway was bad, right?
No.
Volkanovski, just like his name, was great, okay? But Max Holloway does take a lot of shots. Did you know, statistically, Max Holloway has the best chin in the UFC?
Yeah. He, I don't know what that number is, but he's absorbed the most significant strikes in UFC history, right?
Well, I think this is before Saturday night, but yeah, he's absorbed 1,811 punches to the face, significant strikes. He's been knocked down. Oh, and by the way, that is 385 minutes in the octagon. 385 minutes. That's a long 6, 12, 18, 24, 30. That's over 6 hours. Over 6 hours consecutively in the octagon, punched in the face 1,811 times, knocked down 0 times, which is wild. That is so impressive.
That's insane. Especially after seeing the shots he took in person. I'm not sure I've ever watched Max fight in person before, like up close, like cage side. It was different the way he was getting hit. I mean, Volkanovski was just fucking teeing off on him.
Well, the question I was going to ask is, you know, and we saw this with Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson used to take a lot of damage. He would weather the storm, let them punch themselves out, and then turn it on and normally get the finish. You know, and then now he's started to slow down and it's caught up with him. When Max fought Yair Rodriguez, what a fight that was. It was so exciting. Yeah. There was a lot of damage on both sides. Yair got off to a good start, was landing a lot of blows, and then Max's toughness and, of course, his skill. He's very, very skilled. Got the job done in the end. My question is, do you think we're seeing Max ever so slightly going down the other side? You know, you go up, you become champ, you have the reign, you defend, and then you start going down the other side. Do you think that's what we're seeing?
I don't think so. Oh, fuck. It just hit me. God damn, I just yawned. I don't think so, because I think that Max Holloway still probably beats everybody else in the division. I think that a lot of it's just Volkanovski, and I think that there's a lot. Obviously, there's 6 hours of film on Max, and he's just not – He hasn't evolved. He's not, his game hasn't changed. We've watched Volkanovski's game grow and change and develop and, you know, over this period of time since this trilogy has been going on, and Max's hasn't. So I think that's, it's just his, either unwillingness or inability to really add a big difference to his game and his style and his approach. Like, Max Holloway's not going to throw a bunch of kicks. He's going to have a wider stance. He's not going to check a shit ton of kicks. He's going to be a long, rangy boxer. He's not going to wrestle likely.
What do you think of the no sparring?
Well, fuck, taking 1,800 significant strikes over your career in the UFC, I'd be hard pressed to say that he should. But
yeah, but if the timing's off, if the timing's off, I mean, that is one of the things you need sparring for timing. And I'm not sitting there criticizing Max Holloway. He had a far better career than I ever had. He's one of the greatest featherweights to ever do it, firmly just now behind, sadly, Volkanovski. But he has, in terms, maybe it's Volkanovski just still improving, still getting better, finally reaching his peak, because he does seem to now be leaving Max in the rearview mirror. Listen, either way, it was a tremendous fight. The heart. Yeah. From Max Holloway, always on display. You know, there wasn't bad blood. They were talking a little bit at each other backstage before the weigh-ins, I think it was. But that's just proper competitiveness. They know they're fucking almost the equal of one another. And they know they're going to go through fucking sheer hell on Saturday night. As it turned out, it was only Max that had to do that. But a lot of respect when it's all said and done. Well done to the champ. Well done to Max Holloway. Who do you think Volkanovski fights next?
Man, I don't know. He's talking about going to 55. I think there's kind of a mess up there a little bit. Not a mess, but he's going to have to wait around a little bit, I would suspect. I'd like to see Volkanovski versus Josh Emmett, though. I really would. Physically, the way that those guys match up, the styles, just Josh's speed and athleticism, I think matches Volkanovski. I think he can match his speed closer than anybody else can. He moves really well. He's got really good wrestling. I just think just the physicality alone, I think that's a fantastic matchup.
Yep. No, totally agree. And Josh Emmett came on here recently. That's what he wants. And other than Emmett, I mean, there's Yair Rodriguez as well. But Volkanovski's been through most of the top contenders. Yes, Chinless?
Mr. Nine-Fight Win Streak himself, the pride of England, Arnold Allen. What about that?
Well said, Harrington. And in fact, I'm going to reach out to Arnold, see if we can get him on next week's show. So if you're listening, Arnold, be checking those DMs, brother. Harrington, come back on here. I don't know which way to go. Do you have the notes in front of you, Anthony? Do you have which one you can pick? In fact,
Hold on, let me look.
Wedding guest on the 4th of July starts a fire and puts it out while continuing to dance. No.
Oh.
A Nigerian senator has been arrested for attempting to smuggle a 15-year-old boy into the UK for the purposes of harvesting its organs.
I feel like we try to stay away from child trafficking as a topic in general on the show.
I gotta say this: when I saw Nigerian, because I saw a video this week, and Brian just Google this: a Nigerian politician falls asleep in like their parliament or their Congress. Right, he's in there and he's being grilled because like funds have gone missing. I saw this on social media, and like they're asking him questions. So he pretends to have a faint, and it's like the worst fucking acting ever. So when I saw Nigerian, I thought that's what it was going to be. But Harrington, tell us about the little boy that's going to get chopped up.
A Nigerian senator and his wife, they were remanded into custody in London on Tuesday. They were charged with plotting to have a 15-year-old boy brought into the United Kingdom to harvest his organs.
Wow.
So Ike Ekwemadu is...
were going to kill him?
Sounds like it.
Yeah,
hold on. So they were going to murder him first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then harvest his organs.
Yeah.
For what?
No word here on like on what's going on as far as like if the guy's got any kind of medical condition, but yeah.
Hey, I mean, random. Did they ever find that bridge?
I don't think so. I don't know why I thought.
Okay. Anyways, back to this murdering thing going on here. Sorry, I just thought about that bridge. Like, what happened to it? I wonder if they ever found it.
No, I'm pretty sure it was sold for scrap within the day. But so the child involved, he's been taken away. The British government interceded there before they were able to, you know, get him motel bathtub. Yeah.
Is that a word?
I feel like it is.
Interceded.
Yeah. Interceded, intersect.
No.
I don't think so.
Intervene.
Intercepted.
Interceded. Intervene on behalf of another. Boom.
He's right.
Okay. All right, Mr. I read the dictionary this morning. Fair play. One to you. One to you, Harrington.
It's my word of the day, interceded. No, but they jumped in here and got the child to safety. So he's not going to be harvested for his organs. But I'm like, you know, I just have not heard that before. Diplomatic immunity only goes so far, I guess. I think pulling a spleen out of a kid is where they draw the line.
Anthony, did you want to say this or should I? You know, like, we ask him to come up with these topics. Did we want them hot, light, upbeat? You know what I mean? Feel good stories.
Yeah, they're going to murder children and steal their organs.
Murdering children and stealing their organs is not what we're looking for.
You know, fun.
Fun, exactly. Fun. Jesus Christ.
For everybody, not just one person.
Yeah, no, fun for all the family.
Yeah. Hey,
get 2-for-1 this week on livers.
Yeah, 2-for-1 kidneys.
Should not be making jokes about it. Main event, tell me about the main. That was a non-discussion topic, wasn't it? All right, real quick, I want to tell you about rockauto.com. If you have a car, if you want to work on your car, if you need parts for your car, you need accessories, whatever it is, anything that you need for a car, you want to get it from rockauto.com. They've been in business for over 20 years. They provide all the car parts that you could ever imagine at the best possible prices. That is why they've been in business for over 20 years. And that's why, as I'm reading this ad, I don't need to give you a code because the prices are already that low. They cut out all the middlemen. That's how they're able to do it. Of course, they're online. When you walk into a store, you're getting sold stuff that you don't need. And of course, you're going to pay the storefront markups. At rockauto.com, all of that is eliminated, and all you have when you go to the website is every kind of goddamn car part that you could ever imagine. So you're going to, whatever it is you want, go to rockauto.com. You'll be blown away when you see the selection of goods that they have. Anything you could possibly need for a car, they have at rockauto.com. And as I say, the best possible prices. That's why there is no code. So, but do let them know that the Believe You Me podcast sent you there. One more time, if you need something for your car, get it from rockauto.com. All right, let's get to it. Israel Adesanya. Israel Adesanya versus Jared Cannonier. Wasn't the most exciting fight. Wasn't what the crowd signed up for. It's kind of what I expected, if I'm honest, though, you know, because Izzy is technically brilliant. And he showed once again, he showed the skill that he has. You know, you cannot deny that. Cannot deny the reflexes, the speed, the timing and, you know, the shot placement and all the rest of it. So in that regard, you know, you go there to defend the belt. He's done that multiple times, 6 times now. From that regard, congratulations. And I know that he's being a little defensive, saying that the fans don't know what they're talking about. Eugene Berman came out and said, listen, you know, that's what we want to do. You want to hit and not get hit. If you want to see two roughnecks just swinging and trying to kill each other, go watch something else. But I do believe at a certain point when you're making reads, and by the way, it takes two to tango. I thought that Cannonier at some point should have said, right, at the end of round three, should have said, okay, I'm behind. This isn't working. This approach is not going to get me the championship. I've just got to turn it into more of a brawl. Because I thought when he did do that, he did have elements of success, found the chin a couple of times. So he's one side. But I would have liked to see Izzy, knowing that he was faster, more precise, had the better reads, and was just ahead generally in every way, shape, and form, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of a killer instinct.
I honestly have no issue with the way that Izzy fought. People have their style. People have their games that they're best at. Some of them are more exciting and some of them are less exciting than others. I'm never going to tell a man how to win his fight. Go make your money, get paid, keep your title. Again, you're the goddamn champion of the world. Who the fuck am I to tell you how to win? But don't spend all week and all month talking about you're going to do something special and it's going to be different and you know, and I guess convincing us that it's going to be something that it's not. If you want, just come out and say, like, I'm going to shut this fucking dude down. And if he comes forward hard, I'm going to knock him the fuck out. Like, that's totally fine. Same issues kind of with Cannonier. And I'm not hating on him. You know, like, those are hard fights. Izzy is masterful in there. But he's not the brawling knockout type of guy. So I feel like I let him trick me a little bit because I was kind of reading into what, you know, I was buying and what he was selling.
You thought he was going to deliver a Forrest Griffin versus Anderson Silva style masterpiece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what he said.
That's what he said. So there's that. Cannonier on the other side, you know, gave these incredible sound bites. You know, he's this god of war, and, you know, he's bringing hell and fury with him, and, you know, he is the mountain. And I was like, fucking okay.
Okay.
Let's go. I'm in. And then knowing that, knowing what Israel's style is, like, this could be really good. And then he didn't do that either. So I was like, I feel like you guys lied to me.
Jared Cannonier looked absolutely gigantic.
He is fucking huge.
He looked fucking huge. And I thought when I saw him walking, I thought, oh, shit. You know what I mean? I thought he's going to bring it. He's going to, and he could have done. He could have done. And I'm not shitting on Jared Cannonier because number one, he's
that's a hard
the
fight.
Nicest guy. It's a fucking tough fight. It's a hard fight. And I've been there. And for anyone, for those people that were booing, all right, I kind of get it. You're entitled to do that. You've paid for a ticket. You know, you've maybe flown in and you want to see a bit more action. Whatever. That's up to you. But I say this, stand in front of a guy that is as skilled as Israel Adesanya and try and fucking land the glove. And when you can't, and every time you try and swing and you miss and you hit fresh air and doosh, you fucking eat one to the face, or doosh, your leg gets fucking kicked apart. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, your confidence is going to diminish. But on the flip side, that's why we're in there, or they're in there, and the people are in the audience. You know what I mean? They pay, so they have kind of a right to do that. They're entitled to their opinions, but I do understand what it's like. It's not an easy thing to do. But you were there, right, Anthony? You were in the building.
Yeah.
Were people actually leaving halfway through the fight?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. That's wild.
Not like half the people. Droves. Yeah, no, but there definitely was people leaving. But that's the dominance of Israel Adesanya. It took two rounds, and people were like, "Well, we know how this is going to go."
Yeah, yeah.
Like it was clear from Jump Street how that was going to go.
He was pissed off afterwards, you know, obviously being very defensive, and rightly so. The man's dominant.
I would be too.
Yeah. If the world was talking shit after you continually go out there and beat the best contenders, I mean, look at who he's beaten now. You know what I mean? And yeah, okay, some of them haven't been the most exciting. What he did to Paulo Costa was fucking incredible. You know, Yoel Romero, Robert Whittaker twice. Who else have we got? I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah.
You know, Anderson Silva, Kelvin Gastelum, taking out all the top guys. Derek Brunson, Jared Cannonier. You know, there's literally no one else. That's why Pereira's here, a breath of fresh air, a guy that I think, I don't know, I think he might be the man to do it. I'm not saying that. He's a better kickboxer than Pereira.
Right.
But Pereira seems a little nastier. He seems to have a little bit more power. He's a little sloppier as well. But I understand why he's going to get the next title shot.
Well, he can fight Izzy on his own terms. You know, everyone else has got to find a way to neutralize or at least stay safe on their feet and find a way to win. Whether that's try to find a way to get inside and land a bomb or whatever. Get a takedown. You know, scrape away a decision. Pereira doesn't have to do that. He can fight Izzy on his own terms and can win. Now, I don't know.
He's got the height as well and the length, the natural tools that Izzy has over most of the other, most of the division.
And he can stay safe just living in his world, fighting the way that he naturally fights anyways. He can stay safe and be just fine in there with Israel Adesanya. But he's got to find a way to land that shot. Can he do that? I don't know. Izzy's a different fighter. They're both different fighters than they were when they fought the first two times. So I don't know. But I will say that out of everyone that has a chance, Pereira has the best one.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, without doubt. And, I mean, when you see Izzy, the way he beats everybody, every time afterwards, I'm always like, I'll never underestimate him again. Because I thought Jared Cannonier was going to.
And then you always do.
And then I always do. I don't know why. You know, and when I look at this one now early on, I'm like, oh, Pereira is going to be the guy. But that, again, that is just so disrespectful to the body of work that he's had. It's not easy to stay on top like that on your worst night. You know what I mean? On your best night. And that's what Volkanovski did. He was talking about how USADA woke him up in the middle of the night. the last time he fought Max. And then he had to take melatonin to go back to sleep, and he was all kind of drowsy. That's what you've got to do as a champion. On your worst night, still become the champion. So every time you're defending it, you're against the number one contender. And Izzy's done that 6 or 7 times now. So, early prediction. Yeah. Early prediction, Anthony. Pereira, Adesanya, who wins?
Oh, fuck, I don't know. Izzy's really good at not taking big shots, but if I had to make a prediction, there's nothing. It would be too disrespectful to pick against Israel Adesanya right now.
Yeah.
I just.
So Alex Pereira, it is then. Nice, good shot.
I'd have to pick Izzy.
Jim Miller, Donald Cerrone, fair play to both of them. Ian Garry looked fucking sensational against Gabe Green. Andre Munoz defeated Uriah Hall. That's one, Anthony, that I would keep Alex Pereira away from. Andre Munoz.
Munoz. Keep him away from that fucking guy, too.
He's unreal. He's very, very good. Yeah. Very good. All right.
Uriah Hall super pissed about that one, too. He's all over.
So what's going on? Harrington, Brian, can we play this video? Do we have the video? I believe we do. We had Dustin Poirier and Michael Chandler. Two nice guys. Oh, yeah.
What happened there?
Nice guys. Yeah. Take them home to meet your mom. Michael Chandler's America's sweetheart. Never any controversy from that guy. Dustin Poirier, nice guy, running charities, effing and jeffing, finger pointing. These guys, they were not behaving in the fighter section, Anthony.
They were not. Do we got a video of it?
We got a video, Brian?
Okay. Oh.
Poirier is fired up there, man.
He's mad.
Like legit mad.
I wonder what could those two guys argue about that would get to that point?
Do you think there was a little drinky poo involved?
That's possible.
There's normally a little drinky poo. Anytime you're there, you know, you're in the fire section, you got the waitresses coming back and forth, you're in Las Vegas, you had a couple of nights out, maybe you had a nightclub appearance like Anthony Smith. It's still in your system. You're topping it up. You see the next contender. Mm-hmm. You see the guy that's taking everything I worked for, motherfucker. Michael Chandler's coming in. All of a sudden, he's America's sweetheart. You know what I mean? Dustin Poirier, hot sauce Louisiana, does not like what he's seeing. He's not fucking happy. I say, make the fight, sign the fight, Dana. Let's go.
Yeah, I'd love to watch that. It's just weird that they're both pretty chill and pretty nice guys.
You don't see Dustin Poirier acting like that.
Mm-mm.
No, all jokes aside.
It must be serious.
It just kept
I wonder if there's some fight negotiations that are going sour.
I don't know, but he just keeps calling him a fake motherfucker over and over again. So it wasn't like, I don't know. I don't know why he's saying that. I don't know. Let's get Dustin Poirier on the show.
Yeah, let's get him on the show.
Oh, dear. DP. What else have we got? Harrington, throw something at us. Come on, show yourself with your no. You look
every time.
It's just not right.
Sorry, I was just looking to see if I could find the origins of the Poirier versus Chandler beef. And altogether, I'm not seeing much online between the two. I mean, it seems like about a month ago, there was some talking back and forth with Michael Chandler just saying that he's a bad fight for Dustin Poirier. But that's really the only thing I can find. So
that's fair. That's fair enough. You're allowed to say that stuff.
Yeah.
In the weight division of each other, you are paid to fight. You're entitled to believe that you would win a fight. So that's not,
Well, another thing from the card, another fighter who wasn't in the cage, but was certainly grabbing some headlines. Henry Cejudo calling out a couple of fighters backstage after both Alexander Volkanovski and Sean O'Malley. I don't know if you guys caught either of those. But he seemed to be, O'Malley was in the middle of an interview. Cejudo butted in and just was talking crap from the sidelines. And then Volkanovski actually came over and they had like a private word, that the cameras caught, but it seems like he's interested in fighting both those guys.
Yeah. Well, Volkanovski, I did see the footage of, O'Malley. O'Malley was just calling him fat, saying, I think he's
drunk. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. He's falling over things. I thought O'Malley handled it well. Of course, Cejudo always injected himself into everything. I think he's back in the testing pool, right? So he's coming back legitimately. He did look like he could need to lose a few pounds, though.
He looks a little heavy.
He looks a little porky. Yeah. And that's coming from me. I've just been sitting on a beach for a week. Diet starts today. Hard.
You always say that.
I know. But I mean it, though, because I knew in the back
of my mind. How many workouts do you get in?
Today? What, there?
No. Yeah.
What?
It was just that one?
Come on. Me and Callum, I'm like, first day, I'm like, come on, let's get down to the gym, son. Let's fucking go. Went down to the gym. Had a big argument. We had an argument in the gym because Callum doesn't like to listen to me. You know, he feels like I'm picking at him. So, like, you know, like, if you're doing something, you got to do a full extension. You know what I mean? Like, I'll put my arm here. You know, like the, what do you call it? The lat pull down.
Yeah.
You go to there. And I'm like, son, every rep, I'm like, you got to go all the way. Is that I am? I'm like, no, you're not going all the way. You're not going all the way. You're not going all the way. And then we were doing clean and press, and there was no mats, but he was just going, doosh, and slamming it down every fucking rep. The manager came upstairs. He's like, bro, sounds like you're going to come through the ceiling. Please don't put it down like that. When I did it, because it wasn't heavy. The bar wasn't heavy. You know, I didn't even touch the ground, but he still continued to put it, doosh, doosh, almost going through the ceiling. I'm like, son, what are you doing? So we were having a little clash moment. Oh, so we just did the one. We just did that one day.
You couldn't handle another one.
Fuck this. What were we talking about anyway?
Cejudo.
Oh, Cejudo. Yeah. He's got a few pounds on him. I think Volkanovski. That's perfect for Volkanovski. But if he's got to do 6 months, probably a little bit too long. I think Volkanovski should go up actually and fight 155 Charles Oliveira. However, Oliveira wants to fight Conor McGregor, and I feel that he's earned that right as well and deserves a big payday.
And then Makhachev is there hanging out as well.
Yep.
And old Benny. Can't forget it, but we got to stop forgetting about Benil.
Oh, Benny. I was like, who's Ben? Benil. Yeah, but Benil's got to beat one more person. Benil and Islam should fight, right?
They should. I agree.
That leaves Volkanovski and
Oliveira.
Oliveira, thank you, they can fight, you know, and then in the meantime, Benil and Islam can fight, and then there we go. We've got a clean cut, number one contender. It's easy peasy.
Yeah, call him. Call Dana.
I will, okay. Right after this.
Send him a text.
Harrington, what else have we got? Any news we're not getting to? He's not there. He's disappeared. He's crying in the mirror.
No, I am. I'm leaving in about 5 minutes, but I do have...
Sorry, you mean Michael Anthony. Can I leave in 5 minutes, please?
I talked to you guys about this in a pre-show meeting. You guys knew.
You do not come on air.
Don't pull the curtain back. Jesus.
So cocky and arrogant. This beardless man, this beardless grotesque beast before us, throwing down the gauntlet, making his own hours, disrespecting the believers.
I mean, all right.
Until you have a beard, you don't have any say here.
You don't say shit.
Yeah. I'll glue it back on. I will glue it back on right now.
That was when you said that you were leaving early. That was bearded Harrington.
Right. I don't know who this fucking guy is.
Yeah.
Okay, this is so
naked mole rat Harrington.
All right, uncalled for. Couple big developments from the International Fight Week tradition, the Hall of Fame speeches. Khabib came out and said that the Conor McGregor fight was the biggest fight of his career and gave some, you know, a little bit of respect on the Irishman's name. And DC finally admitted to Towelgate, said up in Buffalo, I might have grabbed the towel and then apologized. Did you guys catch either of those?
Yeah, I did catch it. But I feel like he admitted to something that we already knew.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he'd ever denied it fully.
I don't give a fuck. I don't care.
I don't care. It's kind of like fair play.
Yeah.
Like all of us at some point in time have cheated the scale. Bro, sure.
I did a video on my YouTube about this saying, listen, you can't, it's not up to DC. Listen, okay. We're supposed to have honor and morals and be fair and all the rest of it. But when it comes to the scale, we're not talking about in the fight. We're not talking about eye poking. We're not talking about kneeing someone in the balls or none of that shit. But we're talking about when you're going through your near death experience, Anthony, of 25 pounds that you've got coming up soon at the end of the month, right? I hate to break it to you. When you've gone through that, right? And you step on the scale and they say, yo, I forget what DC was, like 1.6 pounds or something over.
Yeah, two over, something like that.
And then you can find a way where you don't have to go get back in the sauna and continue with that near-death experience. Make the experience even worse and get away with it. If you can get away with it, and it's up to the commission to spot that.
Right. Facts.
Yeah.
So I've never done it in the UFC, but on the regional scene, like, I've cheated the scale before. Not a bunch of times. Once or DC kind of explained it when he was talking about it, where, you know, everyone's kind of looking over your shoulder at the scale, like everyone's looking at the number after you've already missed, and you get a coach, they'll just put like two fingers under one of your butt cheeks, and as he's staring at the scale, just lift up just a little bit on your butt cheek and just bring it up. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because listen, I was
like, especially when they're like, you know, everyone's standing around, you got a towel, so you got one of your coaches holding the towel. Well, his hand, if the commission's in front of him, his hands are hidden by the towel, so he can just, you know, just give you a little bit of a boost and just take
it. The little fingers up the butt cheeks. That's a good one. Because for those people that don't know, you're supporting a little bit of the weight. You know
just
what I mean?
Just a tad. And if you're 0.5 or, you know, 1 pound over, it's almost zero pressure on a butt
cheek.
I mean, you just got to just enough to where you would even make an indention with the finger in the butt cheek. It's just enough.
A little tap-tap-a-roo. Yeah, no, because I do the same thing. I'm always trying to cheat the scales, not in my fights. When you're checking in for a flight, same time, same thing every day. My wife, I don't know how her suitcase is like five times as heavy coming back as what it was going there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I put it on. I was like, oh, my God, that's so heavy. So you we've all done it. You know, you get your foot and you're trying to lift it up a little bit. You're trying to lift it up with your foot just a little bit and trying to take it away. But the number's like bouncing all over the place. You can't get it steady. So, yeah, no, we've all been there. We've all been there. All right, listen, you are in training camp. So we don't want to hold you too much longer. So we'll do some questions, then get out of here. If you have any questions, please send them into bympod@gmail.com. Beardless Mike Harrington, over to you.
All right, see if I can still do this. If you are listening on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, positive review. It really helps out the show. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever new videos come out. And if you want to catch over now 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, head on over to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
That is correct. And with that said, Brian, take it away.
So our first question today isn't really a question. It's more of a statement from longtime listener and sometimes contributor, Marco.
Marco.
Wow. Just wow. After good episode like this and all that wife talking, how great fucking husbands you are, and actually a bunch of fucking dickheads, you play two episodes back to back. Question from some newbie girl. No offense to her, she's nice and sweet as she can be. But you dickheads, she asked the questions we heard many times. What means she didn't watch previous episodes. And me, one of the fucking most loyal fans, even sent you some explicit shots before. You don't have to play my question, but for fuck's sake, say happy anniversary to my wife, you fucking cunt.
Oh!
Especially Harrington, for some reason. No questions today. See ya.
Just leave that screen there. Leave that screen there. Can we lose all the bits? So listen, this guy, come on here, dog shit. Say you fucking cunt. Listen, just because you look like Anthony Smith with AIDS, okay. Oh, Don't fucking hate on us. Look at that. He looks like a poor man's Anthony Smith.
No. I don't think so.
Anthony, have you got your glasses?
No, nowhere close.
Oh, bro, come on.
I wouldn't know.
That is you after your fight career 20 years time.
with a drug problem.
Yeah, exactly.
He's pissed.
He's mad.
Legit, yeah. Well, happy anniversary, I suppose.
Yes, happy anniversary to your wife.
I hope she leaves you.
It's nice. Congratulations. Happy birthday. Happy anniversary to you both.
Happy anniversary.
I appreciate the passion. I appreciate the energy. What was the girl's name?
Diana.
Bloody Anthony remembers. Diana. Send the question in, Diana. Just to annoy everyone.
Not this week, no.
Jesus, Diana. Okay. What the fuck? We need more female interaction on the show. What else have we got, Brian?
Well, Diana and us just broke up, so there's that.
That's what it feels like. So we got a question here from Al Hassan Muhammad.
What up, guys? It's Hassan here, and I have a question for Michael and Anthony. And my question is, which loss is the worst loss? To lose a fight in the UFC or to lose an argument against your wife? And I have a second question for Michael. Did you ever consider to change your nickname from the Count to something else? Considering that you're from England and the Count means like pussy or something like that. Anyways, guys, I wish you a wonderful day. And fuck you, Brian. Love you, Harrington.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
Hassan with the little mix-a-roo.
Oh, shit.
I'll take your hate.
Switching it up. First of all, the Count does not mean pussy in England. And secondly, I am a Count. Yes, Brian?
I think he means cunt. I think he thinks that's... Yes, yeah. Sorry.
It's not how you spell it. There is an O in Count. What was the question? Winning a wife, losing an argument with your wife or the UFC?
Oh, I'm not sure I've ever won an argument with my wife. So I'm pretty much... I'm conditioned to losing arguments, so definitely losing in the UFC is worse because I'm just used to doing it at home.
Yeah, and sadly,
and I'm right most of the time. I just let her.
When you argue with the missus, it's the worst thing ever. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Oh god. I don't even. Oh fuck it. I'll say it. You like we don't have a lot of arguments, but we had one on holiday. We won't get into the details why. It was very short lived, but you know. Mm-hmm. But like that's there's nothing on earth gets me. Madder than when I'm arguing with my wife. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Mad. Like worse than if I've lost a fight in the UFC. Nothing gets me as mad and as wound up, right? So we had to shoot. Because
they know the buttons.
And we're in the middle of not shouting, but like, you know, I'm mad. And I tried to find the guy. I tried to find him afterwards. Some guy spotted me and he was just like, and he came over and he's trying to talk and we're in the middle of something and we'd found this little corner, do you know what I mean? Just to fucking have our little bicker, do you know what I mean? And this guy comes over and I'm like, I could see he was a fan, right? And he wanted to chat. And I went, not right now, but it's not a good time. And like, so we carry on and he's still standing there. I said, bud, read the room. I said, it's not a good time. And he's still, he's coming over. And suddenly I went, fuck off. Will you fuck off? And then he went off and then, you know, and then a minute later we were going to, oh shit, I've got to find that guy.
Did you find him?
No. And I did. I went to the lobby. I went out to the pool. No. I wanted to say, listen, sorry, dude. I was having an argument with my wife. I'm very, very sorry. You just came at a bad time. I did warn you several times. Do you know what I mean? And you did ignore
me. Well, maybe he's a believer and he'll call in with a question or something.
I hope he does. And I'm sorry if you're that guy. If you're that guy in Cancun that got told to fuck off. I'm sorry, but we're only human. We're only human, right, Anthony?
We are. I mean, I would never do that, but...
Never. Never, weirdo.
So we got one more submission, and it's from Ralph Sutton, actually. And he had a grappling match with a smaller friend of his, and he wanted you guys to take a look on it. So I figured now is the best time to show
it. It's the only time. Right, so that's Ralph in the pink shirt, by the way. Pause it a second. So Ralph is partners with Lewis Anthony. So Ralph is co-owner of the network. So here they are. He's on his knees.
And that's actually Marcus, his business partner in his health and wellness thing.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. There we go.
Well, Marcus already cheated because he went to his feet.
We did. Both guys couldn't suck.
Like a bulldog choke.
If they tried. Ralph just needs to step over. with his left leg, pop his head out, take his back and choke him out.
He could put like a shin in. He could just put a shin like in the back of his head too.
Yeah, or his knee and his ribs.
Yeah.
That'll get the job done. Because Ralph, I don't know if you know by looking at him.
25 seconds.
He weighs quite a lot. You put that knee in the ribs. Oh,
he's got some good pressure.
No, he's got a lot of gravity on his side. Or the elbow in the throat. Just drive the point of the elbow right into the neck.
Yeah, they're just stuck.
Five, four, three, two. That's amazing.
That's why I don't grab the head.
Pitiful. I gotta say that was pitiful. I'm ashamed to be a part of this network after that.
If we're talking about grappling ability, not a whole lot of it there.
There was none of it on display. Callum would beat him. That's a fact. So anyway, there it is. There's the show. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with another one later in the week. What's on the training schedule, Anthony?
Yeah, I'm here in North Carolina still, so I might just jump on Thursday.
Are you there to the end of the camp?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and when's that? Yep. 30th, right?
30th, July 30th, yeah.
July
30th. Yeah, so maybe Thursday we'll jump back on and do another one.
Oh, how about that? Look at this guy making promises he's not going to keep. Getting you all worked up and excited.
I know. That's the plan. At this point, that's just part of the game. Let's see if we can get them all fucking pissed.
Get them on the toes. Anyway, thanks for watching, everyone. All the best.